Switzerland is about to vote on whether to cap its population at 10 million people. Yep, you heard me. It's a proposal that comes from the right-wing Swiss People's Party, who are saying that immigration is putting too much pressure on housing, schools, healthcare and transport. But opponents say it could do damage to Switzerland's relationship with the EU and maybe even create its own version of Brexit. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and Switzerland is one of the most densely populated countries in Europe. There's about 9.1 million people living there right now. It's a country that's much smaller than Ireland. And over the last 25 years, the population has grown sharply, and voters are being asked on whether that population should now be capped at 10 million people until 2050. The campaign behind it says Switzerland is under strain, with pressure on housing and healthcare and education, even on their natural landscape. But most political parties oppose this. They say it's going to hit the economy, it'll threaten labour supply, and it'll put key EU agreements at risk. It's a pretty unique situation in Switzerland. It's a country where referenda are normal political life. If enough signatures are gathered, voters can be asked to decide directly on major national questions. Maybe it's something that could work here, but why does it work so well in Switzerland? And if the proposal goes through, how could they cap their population? Well, to discuss this, we are joined now by Imogen Folkes, BBC Geneva correspondent. Imogen, you are very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Let's start with this referendum, which is happening next Monday. What exactly are Swiss voters being asked to vote on?
Well, what it's called is the Sustainability Initiative. The clue's in the name from the right-wing Swiss People's Party, that they are selling this as a measure that will protect the environment, ease pressure on housing, transport, health. You said some of that in your introduction. What it envisages is a cap of 10 million on the population before 2050. And if it gets above 9.5 million before that, then Switzerland would have to take measures to reduce the population, to bring it down. What is not clear, and this is what a lot of people are kind of asking, so how exactly will this work? Would people be deported? Supporters say, no, no, that's not going to happen. We will just limit immigration. So one of the key things I think that people are worrying about is, for example, we have a lot of workers from the European Union here. Switzerland, not in the EU, but is in all the key agreements like free movement of people, that they would not be allowed to come anymore, or that they wouldn't be allowed to bring their families with them. And that is a big concern for Swiss business, who like to have the flexibility to recruit the brightest and the best from right across Europe. So it's a catchy headline, this initiative. It's not clear to a lot of people whether it could really work.
And to be fair, over the last 25 years, there has been a really sharp increase in the size of the population in Switzerland.
Yeah, there has. Switzerland is a small and densely populated country. It was small and densely populated 25 years ago when there were 7.3 million people. Now there are 9.1 million, inching up really towards 9.2. What I would say, which I find curious in a way, being originally from Britain, which is a much less densely populated country, is that the arguments about immigration coming from those who want to limit it are the same. Actually, across Europe, pressure on services, like health, on transport, pressure on the housing market. And yet, Switzerland does not face the housing and public services challenges that, for example, the United Kingdom does at the moment. In no way. I spend a good deal of time in both countries. And it has a very well-functioning health service, reliant, frankly, on a lot of workers from the European Union. A lot of doctors and nurses from the EU are working here in Switzerland. And on housing, again, there is plenty of empty apartments. Most people in this country live in flats. They're just not within the reach of people on modest incomes. So people opposing this measure will say, look, it's not the immigrants' fault. Don't make them the scapegoat for problems that governments here in Switzerland, for example, and local authorities have failed to solve, particularly around housing. So again, it's a very nuanced argument, this one. It's true, people get tired of crowded trains. People on modest incomes worry about being able to get a flat. People, you know, young couples starting out life together. But opponents would say that's not the fault of immigrants. Supporters would say we've got too many more people coming in than we're building flats. We got more people coming in than we've got hospital beds.
In terms of the people coming into the country, Imogen, that we talk about, particularly that increase in the population over the last 20-odd years, is that people from other EU countries? Is it people from non-EU countries who have applied and successfully gotten visas to come and live and work in Switzerland? Or is it people looking to get refugee status within Switzerland?
It is mixed, but it is primarily workers from the European Union. That is the bulk of it. The Swiss have the right to work right across the EU with free movement of people, and EU workers have the right to come here and to bring their families with them. And that is one of the things Swiss business don't want to lose, because they think really highly skilled workers that Swiss industry wants won't come if they can't bring their families. Switzerland also does take asylum seekers and refugees. It, like other European countries, has limited its access over the past few years, but it's on a higher level than a lot of its European neighbours per head of population. So, yes, we have refugees from Afghanistan, from Eritrea, from still who've made their lives here now, people from the wars in former Yugoslavia. This is not, though, the bulk of immigrants. It is, however, a focus of the Swiss People's Party. They want to restrict the right to asylum far more. They're quite interested, I think, in the outsourcing of asylum seekers that other European countries are also looking at, having them live outside the country while their claims are assessed. But really, the big bulk is from the European Union, and were Switzerland to cut that free movement of people agreement, and this is a really big worry, I would say, for the government, business leaders, its other bilateral agreements with the EU would be in jeopardy as well. Its key access, for example, to the single market. Europe is its biggest export partner.
And we know in other countries, right, that have had concerns about the size of their population, there has been policies like the one-child policy, which we saw for decades in China, or there was the stop-at-two policy in Singapore in the 1970s, which encouraged people to have no more than two children. I don't think we've ever seen a country before imposing a hard cap like this on its own population before.
No, I don't think we have. And this may be the reason that it's been called a sustainability initiative rather than a population cap initiative. And it is why the Swiss Business Association, the Swiss equivalent of the CBI, if you like, has called this the chaos initiative. We all know business hates uncertainty. They absolutely do not want uncertainty about how they are allowed to recruit, how they are allowed to plan their expansion of business over the years. So they are really, really against this. Swiss People's Party say, look, just we can still bring in 40,000 skilled workers a year, but it has to be on our terms. They work for us. They don't bring their families and they leave when we don't need them anymore. That, of course, is not the EU's vision of free movement at all. It goes back to a much older version of what countries might bring, how countries might bring immigrants in. And the EU, I think, likes to think that it's more civilized than that, that people can move and sell their skills and bring their families, start new lives in neighboring European countries. If Switzerland leaves that, as I said, it could really damage its trade relations with the EU.
You talk about the EU liking to think it was more civilised than that. And I don't think anybody would call the debate around Brexit civilised. It was extremely divisive, as you will remember, Imogen. Is this dividing people sharply in Switzerland?
It is. And it looks like it's going to be a very, very close vote. Really interesting. I interviewed two young people, one from the Swiss People's Party, one from the Social Democrats, on opposing sides of this debate, both with immigration backgrounds. One parents originally from Turkey, the other, the mother is from Canada. And yet they see this debate entirely differently. What I would say is that unlike with Brexit, the Swiss are used to voting and used to this constant debate. So it doesn't get vicious, shall we say. I mean, I have a lot of friends in Britain who say to me, never again, I don't ever want another referendum again. It was so miserable. Everybody was fighting with everybody else. That's not what you get, but this is going to be a very close vote. Latest opinion polls suggesting the Swiss might just inch towards rejecting it, partly because I think they're very known for their hard-headed pragmatism, the Swiss. Mm. And if their business leaders say this could damage our economy, some of them will say, don't want that. Our economy is pretty good compared with our neighbours. Let's keep it that way.
And you say that in Switzerland, they hold quite frequent national referendums like this on, you know, popular questions. Are they generally passed or rejected?
So Swiss voters always get a recommendation from their government on nationwide referenda. The government's recommendation on this one is to vote no. That doesn't mean to say that citizens don't sometimes buck that trend. In 2014, they voted to limit what was called mass immigration at the time from the same party, the Swiss People's Party. They voted narrowly to approve that against the government's advice. The government was again put in then a very tricky position with Brussels trying to work out how that would actually work. So, as I said, they don't always go along with the government's advice. Immigration is here, like everywhere across Europe, a hot topic. But again, I would say this debate is taking place in a relatively civilized manner. Although, if you want to hear about them, we have had some quite interesting posters that we could talk about.
I was just going to ask you about that. I mean, who are the figures leading this? Where is your, you know, take back the NHS, we send billions to the EU bus campaigns. Where are they in all of this?
So we have the Swiss People's Party also using this kind of take back control phrase. And they have posters saying, we're just too small, we can't take it anymore. Vote yes to stay properly Switzerland. The no vote, interestingly, have got a poster of a leering Donald Trump and shadowy behind him, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping of China. And they're saying, reject Europe, get them. And that may well sway some people, because people are very conscious that we live in a very unstable world right now, that the leaders of the big powers are not the friendly, peace-loving chaps we always hope they will be, and that Switzerland's home, although not a full EU member, is probably safer being closer to the European Union, upping its defence spending alongside the EU, that would be the better way to go, and throwing a spanner in the works by undermining some of these hard-won agreements that the Swiss have with Brussels may not be the best strategy right now.
You say the recommendation coming from the government on this is to vote no, to reject this, and that this is obviously a proposal that's come from a right-wing party. So how does a party that's not the controlling party in government get an issue like this to the people, to the point that it becomes a referendum?
Well, anybody can put forward a proposal, and as long as they gather enough signatures, it's 100,000, I believe, at the moment, signatures from people with the right to vote in Switzerland, so over 18 Swiss citizens, that will have to come before the people. With very rare exceptions, something that is clearly completely unconstitutional or in violation of Switzerland's international law commitments, things like that. But most of them, yes, they can. So, you know, the Green Party, for example, has over the last few years gathered signatures for a number of initiatives on limiting the use of fossil fuels, investing more in green energy. Some have been successful, some have not. And the Swiss People's Party over the years has mounted a number of initiatives, mostly centered on immigration. And this is the latest. It's in a way the most sensational with this 10 million cap. And we vote on Sunday.
So we'll get the results of this on Monday, you would imagine.
I think we'll get them on Sunday evening, actually.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. Very fast. We're not used to that turnaround here in Ireland.
Yeah, we should get them. The thing is, most people vote by post here. Sunday is voting day. The polling stations close at lunchtime. And then they start counting. But it will be close. So I think it'll be the evening rather than the afternoon.
When we have that result. How has the EU responded to this?
They're staying quiet at the moment. Obviously, a vote is taking place in Switzerland, and the EU is sensibly not trying to interfere in the domestic politics of another country.
And what is your sense? Because I haven't, in my research, been able to find any sort of clear statement from any of the leading lights in the EU about this.
They said this to Britain, and they have also said it to Switzerland, which has never been a member of the EU, but has signed up to a lot of policy, that you cannot cherry pick. If you want access to the single market, Dublin, Schengen, you will be in the open borders, which is Schengen and Switzerland is in, and you will sign up to free movement of people. Now, the Swiss over the years have had referenda also on accepting these EU laws. So they voted yes to free movement of people. They voted yes to expand it when the new members in Eastern Europe came on board. They voted yes to expand it again when Bulgaria and Romania came on board. So there is a voter tradition of saying yes to this EU strategy, but it's fair to say I don't think the Swiss expected their population to grow by this extent in the space of 25 years.
What's your sense then, Imogen, of what's going to happen on Sunday? And if it is rejected, do you think there'll be other moves to try and do something to deal with the fairly rapidly growing population in Switzerland?
The very latest opinion poll show the Swiss leaning towards no. A few weeks ago, it looked like it was neck and neck. And a few weeks before that, it looked like they were leaning towards yes. So we will have to see. I think it could take a while to count the votes on Sunday. I think it could be close. But if it's no, I think there is an acceptance that things need to be done about the cost of housing. To be fair, it's primarily in the big cities like Zurich and Geneva. Flats are really, really expensive. And if you are in a normal job, like a teacher, a social worker, a nurse, it's very hard to afford them. That really will be up to the big Swiss cities and the cantons to say, we need more affordable housing. And it shouldn't just go to the bankers and the traders who work in Zurich and Geneva. Then with the health service, I think there will be a sigh of relief if this is rejected. And with the tourist industry, 50% of people who work in Swiss hotels are not Swiss. They rely on people coming in to staff the hotels, and the hospitals do too, and the care homes. So I think there will be a sigh of relief there. But I think business and perhaps the medical schools at universities will also have to accept that maybe there should be more skills training in Switzerland. It has a good record for it, but maybe they should train more doctors. They have a limit in Switzerland on how many doctors they train each year. And then they bring them in from Germany and Austria and France and Italy, Spain and Portugal and Greece. The last person who treated me, broke my elbow not so long ago, was a doctor from Athens. Great guy, I would say. But maybe they need to look harder at that. If people really want more Swiss doctors, Reducing the population? I don't know. You know, you are going to need people to work in your hospitals and your care homes. You're probably going to need people to work in social work. You're definitely going to need young, energetic, single people to work in your hotels and restaurants. That's usually the profile. And the Swiss, the aging Swiss population, they're not doing these jobs. So they have a good health service. If they want to keep it, I think probably they are going to have to accept that for the foreseeable future, they're going to be reliant on some foreign labour.
It's really interesting, Imogen, and it's one we'll be watching here on News Talk Daily come Sunday evening. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us and for giving us your insights on this. Appreciate it.
No, that's fine. Have a nice day.
Well, that's it from us here on News Talk Daily for today. We will be back with another podcast tomorrow morning, bright and early. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.